Hi and welcome to the Advantages Experts podcast, where we talk to the brightest minds in business today. I'm your host, Dave Agnone, happy to be joined by Jill Conrath, a speaker, consultant, and author of several books, including More Sales, Less Time. Jill, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm really great today. How are you?
Doing great. We appreciate you jumping on board with us. I want to start off, Jill. I ask consultants all the time, hey, when you started off in sales, what was it like a few years ago? And what's it like today? How have things changed? How are they the same? I think you started off at Xerox some time ago. So take us back. What was it like then? And how are things any better or worse or different today?
Well, then it was cold calling. I mean, and I'm in Minnesota, so it was really cold calling, you know, in the middle of the winter and snowstorms and in the heat of the summer. And nobody knew much about anything. We were, as salespeople, the primary communicators of all the information about our products and services. There was no place anybody could go besides talking to us if they were at all interested.
Sure.
And I think that's where the biggest change is today. With the internet, buyers don't need us. I mean, if they want to go on, they can Google anything and find out whatever they're looking for, and we're sort of extra. I mean, unless we add value in every single interaction, they don't want to work with us. To me, that has been the most profound difference, is the availability of information and how that changes the buyer-seller relationship.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, salespeople get intimidated by that, the internet. They feel like the information's out there and they always have to go lower. I mean, how big of an issue do you think that is?
Well, the information is all out there, and what it means is that salespeople have to do something different. I mean, if you're just simply trying to, you know, sell your promotional products and you know, competing against whoever else they're checking out online, it's not doable. So what that means is that you, as a salesperson, literally need to become a value creator in and of yourself. And it means you need to understand how people are using promotional products, and you need to bring them ideas. For example, if you sell to a safety director, it would be really good to talk with them about how other safety directors are using promotional products to, you know, reduce accidents.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I don't think that, unfortunately, salespeople do that enough or bring in examples of what they've done in the past. So I think that's a really good point. Let's talk
I think you're in a real visual business when you have all these little things to show and tell.
Sure.
And people, you know, get you into that mode. But the reality of it is, if that's the mode you're in, you are just a commodity. You have to be a value creator and bring them ideas.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I want to jump around a little bit and talk about motivation, because we get a lot of questions, and we're at shows and different events from sales managers. You know, what really is a great motivator for my team? So I'll ask you, what do you think the best motivator is out there for salespeople nowadays?
Recognition, just plain recognition. And if you can do something with it, that's really nice too. But certainly just any kind of recognition makes salespeople feel good. It makes any human being feel good.
Where does money fall in there, Jill?
I think money falls below things.
Really?
Things
okay.
That can be brought home to show your family that you know, you got this new raft or this new kayak, you know, or something, a new watch. You know, things like that that are showable, that are, you know, something you can brag about. I mean, it's much better than $20 or $100.
Yeah. I think that's a generational thing too. I definitely think, and you could tell me what you feel, but I feel like the younger generations want to be applauded, you know, want to have that recognition, where maybe the older school folks they're cut from a different cloth, right?
Well, at Xerox, we were pretty into recognition. So, and that's where I grew up in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, that was a big deal, and they made it a big deal.
Sure, they made it worthwhile for people.
You've
written a lot about challenges that salespeople face and how you can counteract those challenges. What do you think the biggest challenge is out there nowadays for salespeople?
I think it's shifting, and I wouldn't have said this a few years ago, but after my book Snap Selling came out, which is all about how to sell to crazy busy buyers, which I thought was the biggest challenge in the whole wide world. You know, how do you get in front of and keep the attention of these busy people? But literally, after that book came out, I was inundated with salespeople who would say to me, Jill, this is really helping me, but you know what? I am crazy busy too. What do you have for me?
Huh.
And for a long time, I just said, I don't know. I'm not feeling the same way. You know, like I'm overwhelmed. right now, and I don't know. And this question has been haunting me for a number of years now, since the book came out. And finally, a couple years ago, I went, I am so freaking busy myself, I'm going to do something about it. And I literally started digging in. And as soon as I started digging in, believe it or not, what happened is I was at the CEB conference,
right,
which is a big consulting group, and they were talking about their latest research. You know, well, they were showing their latest research. I said, well, what's coming? They said, well, you won't believe it, Jill, but all our research is showing that sales rep overwhelm is the number one issue out there today.
So it sounds like it's time, right? Is that what you're getting to, that people just feel overwhelmed? And
Yeah, it's literally salespeople are overwhelmed, and there's a number of factors, you know, in terms of why they're overwhelmed. You know, there's the stuff in their own company that they have to do to get orders through the system. There's all the technology and new stuff they have to learn there, but there's also a human factor that is crucial, that is literally costing sales reps hours per day, and it's affecting their thinking, and it's affecting their focus.
And that's a perfect segue into your new book, which, you know, from me skimming through a little bit, it's about how to save time and what you could do to sort of cut the clutter and recoup some time. So give us some, you know, give us a few suggestions you have for making more time, getting rid of the things you shouldn't focus on, and focusing on the things that are really important.
Well, let me just say, in researching this book, and I spent a lot of time, you know, studying neuroscience, you know, brain science, cognitive health, how you think and everything. And the reality of it is we are living in a world of total distraction, you know, and salespeople probably have the worst of it because we spend all our time online, in email, checking people out on LinkedIn, working in our CRM if we have one, you know, anything else. We're always online. And so we are literally immersed every day in a distraction minefield.
Yeah.
And this distraction is causing us to waste at least an hour or two a day. I mean, that's what the research is showing. It's at least an hour or two a day that salespeople are wasting. They don't even realize they're wasting it because they're working from morning till they shut down at night. So they're working many, many hours. But what it is it's a function of task switching. We're constantly bouncing from job to job. You know, I'm working at my desk on a proposal, an email comes in. Ooh, you know, I see that alert, I bounce over to the email, check it out. Oh, I was hoping it was this customer getting back to me, but no, it's not. You know, it's a thing from LinkedIn, and it's got a list of articles, and one of them says 12 ways to, you know, 12 cringe-reducing ways to make your prospects delete you.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my God, I'm in the middle of prospecting, I better click on that and find out what it's all about. And so down that rabbit hole you go, and while you're there, you see a link to something else, and pretty soon, 20 minutes have gone by, and you've disappeared from one email that tempted you down that whole rabbit hole. So then you go, oh my God, I got to get back and get my work done. And at that point, your head isn't in your work, and you have to figure out where you were again.
Yeah.
And that takes more time. So research is showing that every interruption you have, it takes 10 to 20 times the length of the initial interruption to get back your head back into what you're working on. And here's what else research shows. I mean, this is disgusting, too, when you think about what it means for salespeople. We think we're providing good service, but 72% of emails are returned, replied to within 6 seconds.
Jeez.
So what are we doing? We're bouncing all day long, and that is slowing our work down by 20 to 40%. So we're getting that much less done.
So you just have to stay on task? Is it as simple as that, or what do you do?
Oh, my God, no.
Right. I mean, I couldn't do that. How do you do that?
Well, you know, I mean, I really experimented, and I tried willpower, and I really sucked at willpower.
Yeah.
You know, I was really good for about the first hour of the day. And by the way, research also shows we only have a limited amount of willpower each day. And so if you wear it out by, you know, all those emails, you're trying not to do it. Anyway, what I discovered personally is that I had to put a firewall up around me so that I wouldn't get distracted, because I literally could not resist the distractions. Our brain is wired to be distracted. It is part of our human nature. We can't resist it. We get rewarded for going off task and looking at something new. I mean, with dopamine, it's a shot of feel-good stuff. So we're caught in this dopamine addiction. So let me just tell you some of the things I had to do. And this distraction leads to problems in other areas. But, I mean, some of the things I had to do, number one, I got an email program. that's called unroll.me, and it literally unsubscribes me from emails that I've signed up for or gotten on some lists over the years. I've been on this thing now for a year, and it has unsubscribed me from 1,214 emails as of today, and those people were emailing me like once a week. Okay, so I had to get that firewall up. The next thing I did is I literally took the alerts off my email.
Okay.
So I can't see on my phone or on my desk, my laptop. I can't see when an email message comes in.
Hmm.
How's that?
I got to try that.
It is so freeing, because every time you see that little alert pop up, or what if yours pings or whatever yours does, every time you see it, you go, oh, my God. And then the dopamine cycle starts. So, you know, by turning off the alerts, you turn off the trigger that gets you into that distraction loop. So that was another thing I had to do. I ultimately had to download a program called Freedom.
Okay.
And that's a program that I set the timer, and it'll prevent me from going online or onto favorite sites or onto social media for however long I dictate, from any device I decide to, I can't touch.
Jeez. It's like technical discipline. That's what it is.
You know, you can't do it yourself. It's just too seductive. And so we really have to build this firewall around us that literally, you know, protects our time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, do it. And the other thing I'd suggest is that people, after you check your email, I mean, set times to check your email during the day. And you can do it every half hour if you want.
Right.
But set times to check your email. And then as soon as you're done, shut the email program down. Because research shows that if your email program is open over here and you're working on something else, you are twice as likely to, you know, to go check it out and go disappear.
Wow.
And get distracted. I mean, there's so many things. But what happens with distraction is it takes longer to get everything done. You get all stressed out, and then you don't think as well, and you're not as good of, you don't focus on what matters. I mean, all that is a function of being distracted. So the very first thing people have to do, and that's, you know, that's like the first section of my book is how do you manage distraction, because it's killing us.
Yeah, and for me, it feels like I lose the morning, you know, just being distracted in different ways. I'm slowly getting things done, but I'm not really focusing on the one thing I wanted to get done in the morning. I think it happens to a lot of people.
It happens to everybody. I mean, you open your email program up in the morning, you know, or I even sometimes do email triage just right out of bed, you know, to see if anything's there. But the reality of it is, if you start your morning doing that, you're going down to a road to following other people's priorities versus saying, what are those most important things I need to get done? You know, I need to focus on that. I need to block time on my calendar for that today, because this matters.
Yeah, understood. Again, we're joined today by author and sales expert Jill Conrath. Jill, wanted to get to a few more things quickly. Wanted to ask you about social media, which I like social media. I think social media has great value, but I do think if it's used the wrong way, it can be a time waster. Where do you fall on that?
I think social media is absolutely crucial for salespeople today.
Okay.
Number one. And I think it's the most addictive thing that's out there.
Sure.
You know, it's constantly refreshing with new things. If you're on Twitter, you know, it's all boom, boom, boom. It just keeps coming in, all these things. And there are all these, you know, things that we want to check out. I mean, it's like, you know, clickbait. Like, you can't resist. So you can waste a whole hour. And you know, if you're trying to relax and you know, take some time off mentally to enjoy things, and you're doing that, by the way, that keeps you more stressed out, and you're not, you know, you're not refreshing yourself, and that's how people use a lot of their breaks. But LinkedIn is crucial. Unless you're on LinkedIn, you're missing the boat.
Sure.
But how you spend your time on LinkedIn, I know some people who are, like, extraordinary at LinkedIn. Some have become addicts on LinkedIn and Twitter and connecting. They're using it 100% of the time, and they have a hard time focusing on their other work. In fact, some of them have had their performance go down because they got so hooked into that kind of thing. The people who are doing well with it are allotting a specified amount of time per day, and at special times where they're actually saying, okay, between this and this time is when I do my LinkedIn stuff.
Sure. Like emails, it comes down to discipline, it sounds like.
It is discipline. And again, I think you need to build firewalls around yourself and just, you know, protect yourself, because the more decisions you have to make per day, the harder it is for you.
Yeah, I wanted to continue jumping around a little bit and talk about putting together sales teams. You know, we have sales managers, you know, VPs of sales that'll read advantages. If you were putting together a sales team to sell promo products, what would you look for in people?
I would look for a couple things. I would look for a learner. And
Okay.
I know most people don't think about that, but the rapid pace of change in everything that's going on, if somebody hasn't, you know, isn't learning what's new and following what's new in the field of sales, I would be real skeptical about hiring them. And if somebody isn't listening to podcasts or reading magazines or signed up for newsletters, they are not getting themselves better in sales. If the last book they read was Spin Selling by Neil Rackham
Yeah.
in the 1980s or 90s,
Right.
which is a great book, by
Sure.
the way,
Yeah.
but if that's the last book and you say, well, you know, what have you done? What is your most recent book you read on sales? And they tell you, well, you know, I read this. I mean, you know, that doesn't show somebody who's keeping up with the times, which means that their sales behaviors are probably not as effective as you want today.
Yeah, I agree with that
So
as
that's
well.
one thing I'd look for. And the second thing I'd look for is grit. I would want to find out how they've bounced back from tough situations, because I think sales is tough.
Yeah, no doubt
And I
about
think
that.
any time you can find somebody who has encountered some tough situations, and I'd be asking, you know, tell me about one of your toughest sales challenges and how you overcame it. I would, you know, think that would be really important. Or even when you failed and lost a big deal and what you learned from it, I want to know if they're learning. Again, because if they're not learning, they're not growing and being as effective as they could be. And I guess the other thing that I think would be important is to create a learning organization if you are a sales leader. And to constantly be talking about what are we seeing out there, what are we learning, let's experiment with different ways. This is a challenge, let's all try different ways to handle it. Let's see if we can find a better way. Let's try different email subject lines, you know, let's
Yeah.
try this, let's try. And then have people constantly be in experimental mode, knowing that it's all about getting better.
Yeah. Now listen, learning is important, and if people come in thinking they know everything, that's not conducive for growth. One more thing I wanted to get to, Jill. We always, you know, one of the questions we always get, what's your best closing tip? People want to know how to get leads and how they can close. So we'll take the closing one now. Give us your very best closing tip for salespeople.
Mine is probably very strange because I think the best closing tip is to do such good work and have such a good discussion with your clients ahead of time about how you can help their business that they literally say to you, how soon can we get going?
Okay.
I mean, to me, it's in the conversation
Right.
that you had, that you have, and the value that you provide in your interactions.
Okay. There you
And if
have
I had
it.
to say like if I had to say like a phrase, I would say I get to a certain point, I'd say, well, you know, I'd suggest a logical next step.
A logical next
This
step.
makes sense. You know, the logical next step would be.
Yeah, there's no magic. I think you're
There's
right
no
that it's in the
magic.
process and the conversation. And if you're not
Yeah.
good at that, then there's not going to be a phrase that's going to get you all the way home. So I agree with you there. Well, there you have it. Jill Conrath has been our guest. Jill, if people want to reach you or read your new book, how can they do that?
JillConrath.com, and that's Conrath with a K.
Okay. Right.
JillConrath.com, and the book is on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. Should be in the bookstores on December 6th. That's when it's being released.
What's the book called again?
More sales, less time.
Yeah, sounds
It's
good to
really a
me.
different book. It's really interesting, and it's on, like I said, the number one issue facing salespeople today.
All right, right on. There you have it. Again, our thanks to Jill Conrath, and we thank you as well for listening. This has been the Advantages Experts Podcast. I'm Dave Vagnone. Have a great day.